What is up, ladies and gentlemen? I'm your host, Adrian Conway. Yo, today we are talking about 24.2. If you're following along, the CrossFit Games season is here. It's upon us. We are now kicking off week two. It is Thursday, March 7th. I literally just watched the announcement. Mr. Seth Rollins was on there to give us the announcement, which was very entertaining to say the least. But we had Colton Mertens and Justin Medeiros going head-to-head in the Shred Shed 2.0 there in Boise, Idaho, to give us a taste of what this test would look like. Mr. Rollins came out and he let us know. We had a 20-minute AMRAP of a 300-meter row, both men and women traveling the same distance, 10 deadlifts with a barbell, 185 pounds for the men, 125 pounds for the women, and then, of course, 50 double-unders to finish. So it's a triplet. It is a longer time domain, which suits what I thought this week would be. I didn't dare take a stab at guessing exactly what the movements would be and what the workout would be, but I did think triplet, and I thought longer time domain. That leaves us with a moderate time domain for thrusters and pull-ups or thrusters and chest bars at the end of the open next week. And I'm not saying that that's for sure or anything, like I know it, because I don't know it, at least not at this point, I don't. But that's my guess. So here's my take. And of course, I want to get on here and always give people my best thoughts about the workout. Is that this is a pacing workout. This is a self-awareness workout, but this workout is about transitions. There will be a lot of people who put a lot of onus on rowing a particularly fast pace because they feel like they need to. And what I'm going to tell you is that that is certainly a trap. I think that Justin and Colton did a great job coming out conservative on the rower, meaning that they were fresh and that they could have come out and kind of burnt it down for no reason other than to get a slight lead over one another, but they didn't. They stayed composed. You noticed that Justin was going to have a slight edge out the gate, and he sustained that throughout the workout. And then in periods, it elongated, but then at periods, it shortened again due to some lapses on the double unders. I think he might have had two. But these are things that you have to keep in mind. So overall, your row pace does matter, but you've got to choose a pace that's comfortable for you. The elite level, we're going to see low 140s to mid 140s is the pace that most men select. Women will probably be similar, but about a 5 second less split. So we're talking like mid to high 140s to mid 150s. And those are going to be blistering paces because they're going to be able to sit down. They're going to be able to stay composed with their breathing. They're going to be able to stay composed with their stroke rate. Their heart rate will stay composed, and then they will be able to execute fast the 10 deadlifts and the double unders. But if you're listening to this and you're considering doing this and you're like, yo, what pace should I choose? You always need to be aware of that. If you slow down 10 seconds on your split. So that means if I go from a 145 to a 155, once I go to a 155, I'm going to come off the rower about 6 seconds slower or so than I would have had I rode 145 now. But you understand 6 seconds, that adds up. And for the elite level, that will add up tremendously because think about me doing double unders for 6 seconds, as many reps as I can over you. That could be a huge separation in the dictation of our score. But when it comes to seizing the moment and perhaps digging yourself in a deadly hole that you can't dig yourself out of in a 20-minute window, if you go too fast too soon to gain 6 seconds, and you know the effort that this takes to row 145 to 155, for me, that's a lot of effort, a lot of difference. I could row 155 for as long as you need me to. Like, just tell me how long I got to and I'll keep it. 145, not so much. I can row it for a long time, but not equally. They're not the same. And the amount of fatigue that I build is not the same. So the question is rep after rep, time after time, worth that 6 seconds there? Again, at the elite level, it is. And you need to have a pace that you hold yourself accountable to. So if you guys are watching this, if you're one of my clients, if you're one of my athletes, don't be ashamed to reach out and give me what split you want to hold. And I'll give you an honest answer in regards to, yes, that's your accountable pace. Nothing slower than this, though. Right. And I think that if you're training in an affiliate or you're training in your garage, you should have an idea, row some intervals before, feel yourself, build fatigue, get to the barbell, and decide what pace is appropriate. But you got to have something to cling to because for 20 minutes, you're going to be demanded to be as focused as possible. And what's important here is that you don't allow this 20-minute window to be in your mind all-encompassing, meaning that if you sit down on that rower and you get to the deadlift bar and you do the dubs, you're going to feel like, oh my gosh, I might do 12 rounds of this because you might be going that fast, in fact. But you can't get that far ahead. When you finish your 50th double under, your focus needs to be on getting the rower going again as fast as you can. Not in a reckless way, but in a way that understands that as long as those meters are ticking up, you're getting work and you're accumulating points on your other competitors. So transitions need to be urgent and each movement needs to be focused. You can't simply fall asleep at the deadlifts either, even though it's only 10 reps. Specifically, if this weight is light for you, you can't stand up and have soft knees and get reps taken away, or not open your hip all the way and get reps taken away. So there's a tremendous amount of focus that I hope that all the athletes, particularly the true athletes, go into this test with and understand that one, you need to have a row pace established. Two, you need to make sure that your transitions are clean and urgent. And three, that your double unders are having a day. Meaning that, hey, if you for some reason feel like you've been through 7 minutes of this workout and you've messed up your double under several times and it's cost you, not just in time, but also in mental momentum, don't be afraid to shut down the clock and be like, cool, I'm going to rest 10 minutes and start again. Or I'm going to come back and hit this another day. Because I feel like something that where momentum is real, I acknowledge that as much as a coach and an athlete, momentum is real. And if it, you get in your own head early in a test like this, it will negatively affect the overall score. Now, is the open that important to most of you who are following along with my podcasts and or our subscription model of our programming? Probably not. You knew that you were top 25%, but there could be a handful of you or a good portion of you, as I hope our brand continues to grow. And we do coach the everyday athlete, that these scores do matter. And I'm encouraging you to do the same. So if you feel like you're losing momentum on your performance and it's not going the way that you wanted it to go, then don't be afraid to back off and take a backseat to doing it later or doing it tomorrow. With that being said, of course, I will attach a warm-up to this. So if you're watching this video on YouTube, if you're watching this video as a thumbnail from our blog and or website that I have written up, feel free to follow the warm-up. There'll be some cool-down advice there. But commonly, tissue prep is going to be lower back. Tissue prep is going to be glutes. Tissue is going to be upper back. Tissue is going to be forearms. You need to roll out and wake up the forearms. I would encourage you to get a lacrosse ball in your forearms, both top and bottom. Make sure that you're opening up your wrist, because this entire test for 20 minutes or something in your hands and you're pulling on it or you're spinning it. So we watched Justin and Colton do this, and that's easily something you can forget about. Their grip strength and stamina is crazy, right? So you didn't watch them struggle a ton with double unders in the latter 10 minutes. Most of us mere mortals, we will. That's where our grip's going to start to blow up, and it might not deter our row pace or deadlift ability, but it will force you to jump a little higher on the double unders, because you won't be able to spin your hands as fast. So make these considerations in your prep work. Hit all the tissues needed. Give them some attention. Make sure that you create a posterior burn before you get going, which means your glutes, your hamstrings, and your lower back. You should be hitting some rower intervals. I've got some primers built into this warm-up if you look below this video as well to consider. And of course, you can navigate it the way that you want. You can add and or take away, but allow this to be a baseline to guide your choices so that you feel like you're optimally prepped. Don't go into this 20-minute workout without having broken the seal, getting out of breath, practicing transitions. And of course, folks, this is one of the most important things. And I saved it for the middle of this video on purpose, so that people had to listen all the way through the 8-minute mark at least. But setup. Setup is everything. And depending on where you're at, what gym you're at, how you like it, how you want it, setup matters big here. There's no formal floor plan coming from HQ. I would consider, of course, having the rower set. Your camera's going to need to be set up so that you can film your screen or monitor, but you want your camera set up behind the rower. I would then have my barbell be essentially the next thing to my rower. So you might be able to get off your rower and start your deadlifts right to the left of the rower, for example. And then you might want to have your jump rope right behind the rower, meaning that it's almost like a triangular setup. So the rower is here facing that way, and you step off the rower, step right here, do your deadlifts, and then you step to the back of the rower facing the same way and do your double unders, and then you step to the right and you're back on the rower. So it's a bit of a small circle there that you can create. When you watch these men do their version of the workout, they set up so that it's camera friendly, so that it's viewer friendly, and you don't have to worry about those things, as long as I believe HQ is going to be able to see all your movement very clearly, count your reps very clearly, and they've got a clear shot at that monitor. I would make strong considerations for minimizing floor space so that you can optimize your performance. Because again, for the fittest, when you're worried about that close to a mid 140 row pace, you're burning it down, going unbroken on the deads, and you're going to keep the double unders as unbroken as possible. Those things really matter. Now, I will say this too, for the everyday athlete making these considerations, don't get caught up in the floor plan. And I say that because transition time could be your friend, right? So let's say this is happening. You're an everyday athlete. You know, you're not going for 9 rounds or more. So consider using the clock as your friend, meaning that you establish a comfortable pace on the rower. You take a breath as you walk to your bar. You do 5 deadlifts, let it drop. Do 5 deadlifts, let it drop. Walk to your jump rope that's a little further from the rower. And you do your double unders, whether it's 5 sets of 10 or 2 sets of 25 or 1 set of 30 and 1 set of 20, but you maintain control. Then you walk to the rower. And because your rope's a little further, it allows you to compose your breath before you get going again. Folks, if I had a way to describe this workout, any proper pacing workout, is that you want to feel like you're putting your hand in hot water, but it's tolerably hot water. You can't start slow if you want to do your very best, but you can't start too fast. It can't be too hot. And what you want to feel like is that as your hand is in hot water and the temperature builds, you would find that you can tolerate a lot more because of where it started and you built that comfortability. And I'm sorry if I'm using an analogy that you can't be acquainted with, but for me, it's like taking a hot Epsom salt soak. So I'll put Epsom salt in the bath. I'll make it hot as I can tolerate. But then I notice that as I sit in there, I can keep the hot water at a trickle and it raises the core temperature of the water without making me terribly uncomfortable, but I get a sweat going and I can tolerate it because I'm basically cooking in this water, right? And it's the same thing like if you did it to a frog, right? There's analogies or stories you can look up where a frog would essentially die in the water because if the water gains heat at the appropriate tempo, it doesn't know to jump out, that it's in danger. And that's what you want to feel like with a properly paced workout. Put your hand in warm water, let the temperature build. In the latter 5 to 3 minutes left, when you hit 16, 17 minutes and there's 3 minutes left, that's when you want to feel like the temperature is too hot. If you get in there and it's too hot at 8 or too hot at 9 or too hot at 10 minutes, the latter part of this workout is going to get out of hand. Your double unders are going to fall apart and you're going to go up in smoke. So I don't want that for you. I want you to start at a mild pace, not too slow. You can establish this by practicing the primer that we've got included below the video. And just be aware that you want it to cook and you want it to build. I thought these two guys did a great job of executing that. Of course, they have tremendous self-awareness. They've got crazy amounts of fitness, but go back and watch Justin throughout the workout. He's so composed. His mouth is closed on the row. He's looking around, but you can see it start to tick over. He gets to about round 6, round 7, and all of a sudden we're in the thick of it. And now he's pacing. It looks like an open workout. His body's wet. He's sweating. And then all of a sudden into round 8s and beyond, he's working and he's fighting and his coaches are in his ear. They're saying, hey, you got it. Hold on to this pace. He's trying to just stay ahead of Colton Mertens. He wants to win that golden barbell. So watch even the strategy that he deploys to use the rower as a catalyst, as a buffer, right? Because if it was just deadlift and double under, there's really no buffer that can be created. Because if you mess up the double unders, maybe Colton catches up just in one foul messed up with a double under. But Justin just knew every time he got back to the rower, if he could be on Colton by 5 to 6 seconds, you can't make that up in just one effort alone. So he allowed himself to build a buffer equally. That should build urgency in how you pace that darn thing for every round. If you sit down on there and you're going to row 10 by 300 meters, hey, we're going 3K, folks. There is a significant amount of time that adds up there. But the question is, again, is the juice worth the squeeze? Don't jump into hot water, folks. Don't let it start too hot. Let it build an intensity as you go. Your setup is tremendously important. And I think this is a fun one. You know, all in all, I love what Adrian and what Dave are doing with the open in the first 2 weeks. I think people are going to be begging and hoping for something heavy and something complex in week 3. And I don't really care about that. I think that they're doing a great job of keeping it pure CrossFit. The buy-in is very low and I think that's appropriate. I think the fitness shows and the cream rises no matter what. And, the top 25 get to advance to the next stage and that's all it's about at the end of the day for the elite competitor. For the everyday athlete, they want something that they can get fired up about, that they can get nervous about, that presents a unique challenge. And I think 185 pounds and 125 is plenty of challenge for the general pop community. I think that it puts people on the line where, can I RX this? Do I need to scale it? I think it puts people on the line like, wow, today's the day I might string together 10 double unders for the first time. Should I RX this workout if I'm going to struggle with double unders, or should I scale it? And the answer is yes, maybe. You know, should you RX it the first go around? Absolutely. Let's see if you can get it on the board. Like, let's go through the row. Let's go through the deads. Let's see if you can get through a whole round of 50. You've never done 50 double unders in a workout. What if it takes 20 minutes and you get 50? You did it. Now, the next time we go in and we do a workout, whether it's a .com workout, an affiliate workout, or any other programming that you want to follow, you can be like, hey, I did 50 in an open workout. Maybe I can do 5 each round in this workout. and then the rest are going to be singles. But that's how you create momentum. That's how you understand that you're capable of much more than you might assume, is by giving yourself an opportunity and a great programmed workout like this, where, yeah, you should scale if you can't hit the particular stimulus or intensity. Is that important? No doubt. But equally, this is the open. It's a test. It's a test of fitness. So you don't always need to get a great workout. Hey, stick around and do something extra on the side when you're done, if you only get through two rounds because you're disappointed, but you get those 100 double unders, you get those 50. So that's my soapbox chat for the day. If you're an affiliate owner, if you're a coach, encourage your members to RX this thing if they can, and then give them a little something put together, later in the day or on Saturday or whatever it is, because they can always come back and get a harder workout. But to test with this type of atmosphere, with this type of urgency, I think it's very rare. So team, I love it. We're 2 weeks in. I'll of course hit you with my thoughts and feedback and lessons and takeaways after I see the community get after this, because of course there's always going to be some way for us to seek growth and improvement after an open workout and we see the community tested at large. So good luck to everyone out there doing this thing. Make sure that you flush your tissues after you're done. So that means sit back down on the rower if you're an affiliate where it's available, or sit down on a bike and bike 10 minutes. Go on a walk outside for 10 minutes. Open up your posterior, couch stretch, 1 minute each side, pigeon stretch, 1 minute each side, foam roll your glutes, foam roll your hamstrings, foam roll your lower back and your quads, and give those forearms some love as well. And I say all this so that you can wake up on Saturday and do some solid training, right? It's the road doesn't stop at the open for any of us, no matter who you are or what you're doing. Even if you don't go on to compete, we are beings meant to train and we want to continue to rise up. And that's going to be my charge for you guys, is make sure you spend some time cooling down. I hope that those of you that do watch these and or do tune into the podcast version, that they bring some value to you and some clarity perhaps. Good luck. Leave it all on the floor. And don't forget, this thing is 20 minutes long, folks. Don't start too fast. Take a deep breath with me. You got this. Keep rising.